Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Can Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And, so we have Wrestling Scene from April. Of what year is it? Is it
87. Yeah, we're back in Napolitano land.
Oh, okay.
I think George Napolitano was laundering money through these magazines because he's got like a million of them and they're all the same thing.
Did George Napolitano just like jet set from show to show back in the 80s? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, he had a crew.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they did it.
Oh, okay.
Unless if they're in the Northeast and he got, you know, his access to his pick of places. So,
because I always just assumed he was a photographer. I didn't realize he was like the man of the hour.
I feel like a lot of people start off as photographers and then they just become like. But Bill Apter was pretty much a photographer and he just edited all those magazines.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Wrestling Scene.
Number
37. Ooh, it's numbered.
Yeah.
1987 cover. We've got a nice big shot of Marty Jannetty down on the mat and holding an arm bar on Doug Summers.
Yeah. It's a pretty awesome picture.
Yeah, good shot.
Yeah.
And then we have, because the main thing is Midnight Rockers outlast them all in a 15-man battle royal.
Was it a 15-man or a 15-team?
15-man.
Wow.
Because you got a shot at, was for a shot at Mick Bockwinkel later in the night.
Oh, okay. So what happened? Did Sean and Marty, were they the final two?
Maybe. I think Sean won it.
Oh.
We'll have to read. I mean, the article has a bunch of stuff in it. And actually, there's some stuff in that article that I did some research on last night.
Mm-hmm.
That it made me realize a few things about the AWA.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
I'm a little more jazzed this week than I am last week because last week we covered the Attitude Era and the Attitude Era is just not my thing. I'm not into it.
It feels like you're only talking about like the same things.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I felt the same way because I was like, I don't really want to talk about, you know, Kevin Nash and Steve Austin. Like, I want to talk about these different people that like I can remember because I'm that same because you and I, you know, and I don't know where our listeners are. Maybe Jim Evans.
Jim Evans
definitely. From last week. We remember the stuff from the old days.
Yeah.
You know, we have like random memories of these magazines and these wrestlers from the different territories, not just from like, you know, when they're in the WWF and WCW, but like from years before that. So it's fun to recollect that.
And it's not like I didn't like the Attitude Era. I just don't care about it really. Like, I don't watch it on the network. I just don't care.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, not my thing.
Yeah.
Not my scene.
The 80s are more my scene. When kayfabe was kayfabe.
That's right. That's what the show is called, I Can Talk Kayfabe.
That's right. And then also on the cover, we have the one-man gang. I hate Hacksaw. He's just covered in, like, well, he was bleeding. It looks like he was getting it taped up, but yeah.
Yeah, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, banner across the top says beaten to a pulp by Akbar's goons.
Yeah.
This was at the height of the battles that Hacksaw would have in the UWF, which had some good TV, by the way.
UWF is now on the network with more episodes on the network.
There's more Mid-South stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Other articles, Saying Ain't So, Sunshine and Freebird's Nest.
Yeah.
Also, Killer Bees, masks make them deadlier, which I think it's a bit extreme, but
deadlier, I don't know, but yeah, the masks definitely worked in their favor.
Yeah,
I liked that gimmick.
It was a good gimmick. Too bad they never got their due.
Yeah,
I was a fan.
They were kind of undersized. I think that was the problem. Yeah, and then later on, Brian Blair would end up smashing Beefcake's face.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, his knees went in Beefcake's face. I was thinking, on wrestling. I was like, oh, no, wait, that happened in real life.
Yeah. He was the one who crashed into Beefcake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think you've seen it all. Think you've seen it all? Hall and De Beers go for blood in a wild stepladder match, which I read that, and again, kind of go back to the whole AWA thing. Like, I didn't realize they did that.
Neither did I.
I was like, I mean, because that's even before, like, I thought the first, I think there was other ladder matches.
Yeah.
In, like, Memphis or something like that. I'm certain there probably was. Or maybe.
Yeah.
And I think in Stampede.
Yeah.
There was ladder matches. Like, in the early 80s. But I was not aware that Scott Hall and Carl DePierre fought in a stepladder match.
Yeah, because Scott Hall went on to wrestle in two very famous ladder matches in the WWF.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's kind of interesting that he had a ladder match with Colonel DeBeers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got some pinups in this magazine, too. We got Ric Flair, Brad Armstrong, Midnight Rockers, Nikita Koloff, and Brian Adidas.
Yeah.
And more. And right on the inside here, we got a nice photo here of Nikita Koloff.
It takes up the back one, too. Like, you have to detach the whole cover if you want to hang that thing
up. Yeah. Well, it's already falling off, so you can do that if you want to.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I want Nikita Koloff. Or if I want that photo.
Actually, that's a good photo. We on the back cover, we've got, for some reason, it says C6. I don't know what that means. But Dutch Mantel and Bobby Jaggers, the Kansas Jayhawks. R.I.P. Bobby Jaggers, by the way.
And the photo's great because, like, Bobby Jaggers is, like, bleeding. And it looks like they were going upstairs. And, like, hey, wait a minute. Before you guys go upstairs, why don't you pose by the railing and we'll take a picture? And they're like, okay. And they did. And
it's great.
And it's awesome.
It's great. Dutch Mantel is the most wrestler look, one of the most wrestler looking people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I don't know what else you could be either that or, like a guy that does something with NASCAR. But he's awesome.
Yeah. He's still awesome.
It's a shame also, too, real quick aside, he never got his due in WWE video games, because he could have been a valet. And as for the Mid-America, or for the
Jack Swagger
and all that, and they didn't, never did it. And I was like, oh, come on, man. You could have just put him on the side there, could have ran into him, knocked him down. It would have been fun. So.
He was never in a video game?
No, they never put him in as a manager. I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't remember ever playing with him.
Well, so. You never could play. I mean, you never. I don't think you would play as him because I can't see them putting him.
No, yeah.
As like a playable character, but just as a something in there.
Yeah,
I'm pretty certain you never got him as that, which is very disappointing. So, opening. Let's see here. So let's talk. Yeah, let's just jump right to some of these articles here. Scott Hall and the stepladder match with Colonel DeBeers.
Mm-hmm.
Go for blood. And we've got actually a lot of really good photos.
Yeah, it's a non-gimmick ladder. By that I mean, like, so like in the WWE today, the ladders are double-sided where they have steps on both sides. This is like an actual ladder where it's got only the steps on the one side, and the other side's just like the generic other side of the ladder that has some rungs just to hold the ladder together, but it doesn't have steps.
So the goal of this match is to grab a bag of money up at the top, which I love because I wonder if there's how much money was actually in that bag, like probably just like some coupons if we're talking, it says $10,000.
Okay.
Well, $10,000 of Scott Hall's money.
Oh.
Scott Hall in 1986 had $10,000 to spare.
He put it up against Colonel DeBeers.
That's right.
That's crazy. Why would you put up your own money?
He wanted to give him the ring.
But what if DeBeers shoots on him and just like takes the money? And then like they go in the back, like, all right, give him the money back. He's like, fuck you, Scott Hall, I'm leaving. And he just takes the money.
What he doesn't know is actually it's just a bunch of Monopoly money.
I don't think Scott Hall was in the 80s was smart enough to like fake it.
Oh, you think he was just?
I think he actually went to the bank and took $10,000 out, put it in a bag, and he's
put
like,
it in an unmarked. Put it in an unmarked bag, please. I'm hanging this up on the ceiling.
Yeah, and the teller's probably looking at him like,
can you tie that up real tight.
Yeah, like, would you like large bills or small? He's like, yeah, large is fine. I'm gonna beat him and bring it back and deposit it.
He just comes back with bruises and just puts it on the counter. Hey, yo, put this in the deposit. Put it under Chico Ramon or whatever. I think he won. So thankfully he won. Yeah. As DeBeers tried to regain his balance, Hall pushed him off the ladder and he fell 12 feet to the mat where he laid motionless as Hall snatched the sack of money, driving the crowd into a frenzy. People were very excited to make sure that Scott Hall kept his own money.
Yeah. I'm glad that he kept his own money.
Me too. Yeah. I just watched the Scott Hall documentary on the network, the Razor Ramon thing. It's actually really good, and I don't know how he's doing right this moment, but as of that documentary, he's doing much better.
Yeah.
And it makes me very happy.
Yeah.
Through DDP yoga and just in therapy.
DDP yoga changes lives.
It does.
I mean, we both have our own experiences with it. It's definitely, I feel like out of all the, like, those home workout programs, I feel it's the best one.
It is. It's really good. It's, yeah. I mean, it's, and the thing is though, it's not very, it's not, for, I don't know, in my mind, it's not intimidating.
Yeah. Anybody could do it. It doesn't matter how out of shape you are. If you've never done any kind of yoga in your life, you could be the biggest, fattest slob that walking the face of the earth, and you could do this. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's really, yeah, I think it's the best thing to do.
Make DDP yoga your own.
Yeah, yeah. Own your life.
That's right. Well, Scott Hall did that. Good for him. So, and he also kept his $10,000. I'd be very upset if I wrestled a match and lost my own money.
I'm pissed off because it's like 2017. And I think if I took every penny out of every bank account I have, I don't think I'd come up with $10,000.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
I might be able to, like, scrounge up half of that, but that's about it.
I would have to hang my comic book collection from the ceiling. Just out the crowd. Like, I got it.
I definitely got close to $5,000 in video games, but yeah. So I can make that up. I can do 5 cash and 5 video
Joe's games. Joe's Tower of Video Games. Just wrestle around that, and if you could find the Joe and Mac cartridge.
Yeah, or I could put my Jeep Patriot up.
I want to see this match on video. I don't know if it's ever been taped. Well, it says wait. Okay, no, it isn't taped. I don't know. I want to see this. But if anybody has any access to this video, you let me know, because I want to check it out. Let's see here. Okay, so let's talk about this Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
This is a good one. So we got even another picture of the gang.
Yeah.
He didn't even bother to wash his hands.
No.
He is yeah, a
why
mess.
Would you wash your hands?
Well, look at him.
You're posing for a wrestling magazine.
No, yeah, you gotta wash ever.
No.
You gotta
when the photographer leaves, that's when you wash up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I want to point out here, so we have Hacksaw Jim Duggan beaten to a pulp by Akbar's goons. So basically,
yeah.
Hacksaw is being, you know, it's Devastation Inc., which I love that name for a thing.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Great name. And Akbar, I feel that he was an underrated manager.
Yeah.
Maybe because he didn't have enough exposure on the main scene, but the more I watch stuff with him in it, like he was awesome.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, and just having curating the talent, you know, is something that I think he did really well. Cause cause you got One Man Gang, who's great. Bill Irwin,
mm-hmm.
You know, who, you know, it's 1986 Bill Irwin. So he's doing pretty good. And then Leroy Brown, RIP. Yeah, so you got a bunch of mean dudes in that group.
Yeah, who's Leroy Brown? Is it Bad News Brown?
No, that's Leroy Brown. Big Leroy Brown. He was one half of the Zambui Express.
Oh, okay.
With Kareem Muhammad.
Yeah.
He was Elijah Akeem.
Oh, okay.
But this is after that. So I do want to point out this picture here. So Hacksaw Jim Duggan is standing here talking to Boyd Pierce.
Yeah.
The announcer. And I didn't realize Boyd Pierce is not as short as I thought he was, because Hacksaw's a giant man.
Yeah,
and Boyd Pierce is maybe like an inch or two smaller.
Yeah, he's like kind of looking at him, like staring at his mouth.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah, it's pretty impressive. But yeah, so we get a lot of stuff here about how, you know, it's actually, you know, just your basic article about how things shaken down for Duggan.
But it makes me want to go watch the network, yes. Because this looks great.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of talking about the his history of confrontations with Akbar and his group. I do. There's a nice little misspelling here. It says Akbar and Duggan have a long history of viscous confrontations behind them in the UWF area. We got a lot of great pictures here. My favorite. And I posted this on our page, and you'll put this on icontalkkayfabe.com, is a picture of Hacksaw. He's about to get his face run into a turnbuckle. But the caption is, "The gang prepares to slam Duggan's face into a mental turnbuckle." And the look that Duggan's giving to the camera about to happen, like, he's kind of looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like, look, I know this is incorrect, but go with it. Yeah, but we just get some good stuff here about they keep spelling Devastation wrong too, which bothers me.
The thing that bothers me, so the head garb that that Akbar's wearing, they don't have it in WWE 2K17. I can't create Skandar Akbar.
Did they ever have it?
They had it. They had it before. They just stopped having the Arab headgear. It makes me mad. That's they bullshit. Have the towel that you can put over the head, but then that's just really racist.
Those games sometimes don't realize the damage they create by not making things proper.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this?
No, just it looks amazing and I want to go watch it. And
oh, I missed another page here.
Yeah,
we got even the other better shot of like, look, apparently One Man Gang has half of his skull scalped.
Yeah,
he is. Man, I'll tell you, wrestling photos from back in the day, they don't do them like they used to.
No, they sure don't.
I do want to point out though, did you read this?
The first annual American Wrestling Festival?
Yes,
no.
So this is basically, if you are a super fan of the George Napolitano magazines, minus Wrestling Eye, but all the Starlog magazines. So Wrestling Scene, Wrestling Superstar Wrestler, which we've done recently. You can come to this convention at the Penta Hotel in Manhattan
in
April 1987 for an outrageous weekend of entertainment for WrestleManiacs. Here we go. Meet famous wrestling stars. Wrestling film shows, giant collector's dealer room, wrestling trivia contests, how to become a wrestler, bodybuilding exhibition, wrestling memorabilia auction, and over-the-top arm wrestling contest. That is everything you need.
I just wish it said who was the talent that was appearing.
Oh, well, you know, it's Lou Albano's son.
Oh,
he's gonna be
there. Lou Albano was probably there because by
100%
yeah, 1987. I don't think he was being
Killer used. Kowalski's there. Ox Baker is definitely there. Who else? Who else is there?
I don't know. Ox Baker was still working by then.
No, I think he's there. I think in 87. He's there. He's definitely there. Maybe I don't know. I was gonna say maybe Tony Atlas is making an appearance. He's the headliner.
Yeah, probably. He's probably there.
Yeah, they're paying him to come in and. To you know, say hello and leave. Yeah, that sounds like a good time. And by good time, I mean not so good a time, because you're just hanging out with a bunch of sweaty wrestling fans and not having a lot. It's a lot. Like those, we used to go to the back in the day. We used to go to the ballpark for all things. And those things, it's not just like you go to the event. It's like, you know, since you're a big wrestling fan, like you're going to the event and you're hanging out, you know, with all these other fans and you're doing this thing afterward. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Plus you have to watch 9 innings of baseball prior to the wrestling event.
Yeah. And that's the worst part.
Yeah.
I hate baseball.
Well, the one year it was the guy had a no hitter going through 8 2/3 innings before he gave up the hit. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Midnight Rockers outlast a 15 awesome all in the 15-man battle royal. So we have basically, you know, a story about these battle royals that are happening throughout the AWA where the winner gets a chance at the champ at the end. And we have a list of all these wrestlers in this battle royal. And I do want to point out a few notable people here. We have the Blaster.
No.
Do you know who the Blaster is?
No, I don't.
Have you ever seen and it was on the AWA DVD that the WWF put out, WWE put out, and it was the scene, it's a scene, and you can find it on YouTube, where Larry Nelson is interviewing, I think, like Al DeRusha, and they're just talking, and all of a sudden, a guy jumps through the wall.
No.
And he looks like.
I have that DVD.
And he looks like this, it's a very brief clip, but you can find it on YouTube, like the full clip, and it's just this guy. Who apparently, I forgot what his name is, but he was known as the Master Blaster, or just the Blaster. And he was this guy training with you know, in AWA, in the Ganya camp. And he apparently fell off the apron and hit his head, and it palsied his eyes so that they constantly looked like they were bugging out.
Wow.
And that was his gimmick was like, he just looked like, cause he looked like this bald, gnarly looking dude with weird eyes. And he had like a whole arm that looked like it was like hand that was wrapped. in like electrical tape, and he was supposed to feud with Raschke over the Claw. And then Raschke went to NWA, and they just forgot about this guy.
No.
But if you look up a battle royal from 87, he's in there, as is the guy in this picture right here. This is Silo Sam. Are you familiar with Silo Sam?
No, I'm not.
Are you familiar with Big Bad John?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Look up Silo Sam AWA on YouTube, and you'll be treated to the AWA version of Hillbillies.
Okay.
Because NWF had your Hillbilly Jim, you had your Cousin Luke, your Cousin Junior.
Yeah, it was way too many cousins at one point.
You had Uncle Elmer.
Yeah.
But Silo Sam was the shot in the Hillbilly Wars. And if you ever want to see Hillbilly running through downtown Minneapolis,
okay,
I think you would enjoy it. It's good. You'll probably have the same reaction that you did when you first saw Super Mario.
Yeah,
because I didn't know this
Super Duper Mario.
but he was a guy who was also Big Bad John, and he's one of those guys who's just like really. He didn't have like the Andre the Giant disease so much as he was just really big. And then, like, he died.
Oh.
So, all right.
Yeah, big guys don't last long.
Yeah, so we have, like, Scott Holland's Battle Royal, Kurt Hennig, you know, all your AWA guys from back then. You have the pre-Nasty Boy Nasty Boys.
Oh, wow.
Brian Knobs and Jerry Sagadovich. Steve-O. Marty Jannetty. Shawn Michaels. Alexis Smirnoff. Yuri Gordienko. You got your generic Russians in there. You got, well, Buck Zumhoff got substituted, so fuck him. Yeah, and so apparently, you know, Shawn Michaels won the match. Surprisingly, Scott Hall did it, but I think they're always gun shy at Scott Hall.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that was that. But it looks good.
AWA.
Everything in this magazine so far has looked good. Like, I want to go watch it.
I do. I want to see this ladder. I really want to see this ladder match.
Yeah.
Because Colonel DeBeers is a fascinating person.
Yeah, he really is.
He's a fascinating guy who used to wrestle. He wrestled in so many different gimmicks. Like, he wrestled, like, as, you know, like, he was just regular old Ed Waskowski, which, it's on the network. It's him in Mid-South, and I swear he does, like, a move that I can only describe as a flying dick press on a sitting opponent. But also, he wrestled as Colonel DeBeers as the racist South African militant.
That's my favorite Colonel DeBeers.
And then he also wrestled as the great Maharishi in Oregon, where he originally is from. And it basically, that was a playoff of like this cult that was going on in Oregon at the time.
That sounds amazing as well.
Yeah, so he was...
There needs some...
No, he was the Polish prince.
We need some Oregon wrestling on the network.
Yes, we do.
Get the Oregon wrestling footage. Because, oh my God, the few things of Oregon that I've seen have been just awesome.
Yeah.
You have young Roddy Piper, you had a young Rick Martel.
You've seen the Roddy Piper video where he smashes the bottle against his head and does the promo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. The Oregon stuff is gold.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who can get the rights to that stuff? So, you know, let's take a break. You want to take a break here?
I'll take a break.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of this book.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
We're back here on I Can Talk Kayfabe, talking about Wrestling Scene.
Wrestling Scene.
April 1987. And you want to talk a minute about the magazine, the Killer Bees, right?
Yeah, we'll just briefly go over the Killer Bees. There's an article about the Killer Bees and how their masks make them more deadly.
Oh, there we go.
And it was kind of an interesting gimmick behind the masks, because I... They didn't wrestle in the masks when they were like a tag team. They would wrestle like as singles. They would put a mask on. That way they could like sneak
in. They did not wear them as a tag team. Because according to this art... Well, go ahead.
No, that's kind of how I remember it. Is like, yeah, they wrestled them too, probably as a tag team. But I remember them like... Brian Blair would have like a singles match, so he'd put the mask on, and then like Jim Brunzel would also wear the mask, and then the referee wouldn't know that they switched at one point. So yeah, it was a good time. That's really all I wanted to say about it. So
be Brian Blair.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
And he ended up running for like some kind of like local like assemblyman or councilman down.
And then he fought his son.
Yeah.
He did.
Or was that Jim Brunzel that ran? No, I think
no, it was what he did both. He did both. Yeah. He ran for a thing, and then he won it, and then he fought his son, which was one of those things where, you know, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Yeah.
But
Jim Brunzel was the commissioner of the AWF.
He was. That's right.
The round system.
Jim Brunzel. It's always weird sometimes because they just randomly would cram him into things.
Yeah.
Like he's in like he replaced. I want to say it was Don Morocco in the one Survivor Series. I think 89 or something like that.
The Survivor Series was notorious for having replacement wrestlers.
Yeah, 88 had a lot of replacements.
Yeah.
He was one of them. And then they would cram him into like jobbing matches in like late 93 or early 93 on like Raw. Like you watch like early Raw episodes, like he's in there. So
I liked how the one year in 89, they just replaced Tully Blanchard with Bobby Heenan. They're like, yeah, Bobby Heenan's going to wrestle.
Yeah. Well, you have to keep to the whole thing with, the Heenan family.
Couldn't put the Brooklyn Brawler in that spot, though. Like,
well, you know what? They could have. They could have.
Yeah. They put Bobby Heenan.
Maybe they didn't trust Lombardi enough to do well enough in there.
They had to. Yeah. Like, they could have put the Brawler in. They could have...
I think that's all you had.
That's really all you had. And they could have put him in.
Or maybe he wasn't, 89. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, 89 they would have had because he was already fighting. He was already, because Terry Taylor already turned on him.
Yeah.
So they already, he was already faced then. Yeah. Fans speak out. We have some fat jokes. This is the letters page. Some fat jokes about Bundy. There's a lot of good kayfabe letters in here, though, I will say. A lot of them where it's like, hey, Captain Lou, why are you retiring? What's going to happen to the machines and George Animal Steel? You know, like this guy, Trent Hatchings here from Cassopolis, Michigan, is very, very concerned. And then he's also very against Adrian Adonis. He says, next, I wanted to say that I like the new Roddy Piper. He's giving Adonis what she deserves.
It's pretty funny how like they were making a fat joke about Bundy where like nowadays you don't really do that because everybody's fat. It's like you can't really insult somebody anymore because we're all fat now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what happened to America.
Yeah, we got fat.
Here's a good one. This is like a very awkward letter too. I drive a taxi in Ohio and I had the honor of picking up Miss Wendy Richter about a year ago. We had a fantastic conversation and she was more than willing to sign all of the autographs I asked for, 10 in all. So, you can, apparently Wendy Richter will oblige you. I find that to be very awkward. Like, I would never, I feel like if you're working somewhere in a job, like, I don't know, you shouldn't really mark out for people unless if, like, I don't know, you know what, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself there because I think that maybe if you're an Uber driver or if you're whatever, I guess that's what you do. That's how you make your connections. Maybe this guy went on to become a wrestler, Jake Pendleton. So,
I'm trying to figure out why Bobby Heenan replaced Tully Blanchard in the Survivor Series. Going back to that, I'm looking it up, but I can't really find any information on that.
You probably have to go back to like observers or something like that back then and see what exactly happened. Probably, I mean, obviously because Tully Blanchard probably failed his drug test at that time. That's probably what happened.
What does that have to do with the wrestling?
Are you trying to figure out why he wasn't there or trying to figure out why they didn't put somebody there?
Well, no, why he wasn't there.
Because he failed a drug test.
But what does that have to do with wrestling?
Because he got suspended.
Oh, I didn't realize they actually did that.
He got busted for coke.
Oh.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
You can get busted for everything else but coke back then.
Oh. But then that was like Arn Anderson's last appearance too. Maybe they were just like, you know what, we're leaving, and Tully was like, fuck it, I'm out.
Well, they were already headed back to NWA at that time anyways, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, and I think actually the whole story was that they were going to bring Tully and Arn back, but Tully got busted for coke, so they didn't bring him back.
Oh.
So they had just brought Arn back, and Tully basically was retired.
Oh, yeah. So it says right here on the Wikipedia page as I scroll down that Tully Blanchard was originally scheduled to be a part of the family, but he was fired on the day of the pay-per-view
Damn.
For failing a drug test. So Bobby Heenan replaced him.
Got popped. That's probably why they couldn't. Maybe yeah. Marty probably wasn't there.
Yeah, he probably wasn't there. They're probably like, oh, they're looking around. Why couldn't they just put a guy in a mask?
The masked Heenan?
Like they could have
the masked brain.
Well, they could have put like another wrestler in a mask. Well, they had Paul Roma against Boris Zukov as a dark match. Just put Boris Zukov on the team.
As the Russian brute.
Yeah, just put him on the team. Like
he's totally not Jim. Yeah, even though his head would have been huge, it'd be like totally not Boris Zukov.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about that one dream I had about Boris Zukov?
No.
So one time I had this dream about Boris Zukov. Apparently, this is for last year's Survivor Series, that he was a secret entrant into a match, and then he was announced, and he was over as fuck.
Yeah.
In 2016. I don't know why. It's, I don't know what he was doing in my dream, what I was dreaming about wrestling. But he apparently was the hottest ticket in that match.
Oh.
Cool story, Sean. Official ratings. These are the ones where they just take a bunch of, like they kind of do in the other magazines where they take a bunch of, territories and put them up here. And nothing here is really unique. I mean, it's everything that's here is what you would expect. Did you find anything different here?
Well, just most popular, they have Ricky Morton as number one. Over Hulk Hogan, over Dusty Rhodes, over Kevin Von Erich, but I figured Kerry Von Erich would have been on the list. But anyway, Ricky Morton, that just shows you how, like in 1987, how popular he was.
Yeah. Ricky Morton, number one, Robert Gibson, number seven.
Yeah. But Ricky Morton was definitely the more popular of the two with the ladies.
That he was.
And, yeah, so they made him the most popular.
What was that line at the Hall of Fame, Jim Cornette's like, Ricky and Robert had more sex on their way to the ring than most people have in their entire lives.
Yes.
Which, yeah, that might have been true. And this is also right before Rick Rude jumped ship to NWA or WWF because he's still prominently featured here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now we have your top 20. You got WWF. You got Hercules at number one.
Yeah. They kind of
they don't do it like the PWI does, but
he's number one in the top 20 and number one in the WWF.
He's number two in the top 20.
Oh, okay. Hercules. But yeah, number two in the top 20, number one in the WWF. They love the shit out of Hercules.
Hey, you know what? This is probably at the time where he was a hot commodity because he was challenging Hogan and stuff. You know, RIP Herc.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got your Florida ratings, you got Mid-South, Northwest. Chris Colt making an appearance. That guy, if you ever read, there's a really good book, I think by Sean, not by Sean, it's not Sean Oliver, Greg Oliver, called The Wrestler, Pro Wrestling, The Heels. And it talks about all the heels from the different, areas, you know, whatever. And they talk about Chris Colt, who was kind of like this, like, hippie. He was like an evil hippie.
Wow.
That, he was based in the Northwest, and yeah, he was around for a while.
Oh, Billy Two Eagles, number 10.
Billy Two Eagles. Yeah, who did he become? Who was he?
He was Billy Two Eagles.
Oh. also, spelling Larry Zbyszko's name right here.
All right. Go get him.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they spell things right. They spelled Boris Zukov wrong, but that's fine. If you can spell Zbyszko right, yeah, you know what? That's you're already ahead of the game.
At least they spelled Zukov phonetically correct.
They did. Yeah. They're true. And then we have, yeah, that's really about it. I mean, ICW ratings here, which is actually this is a mishmash of wrestlers that I want to watch. I could find more of this because it's got like you got your Dick Bockwinkle, Larry Zbyszko, you got your Hercules, Aliyah, Superfly. It's basically like AWA and like Puerto Rico mixed.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. The news.
With the miscaption of the photo of Fred Blassie.
Yeah, that's not Fred Blassie. That's not
Bobby Heenan. Yeah, it says Bobby Heenan's betting his brawlers will stop the Hulk in 87, and then they have a photo of Fred Blassie.
Yep. He was already pretty much like effectively retired by then.
Yeah.
Honky Tonk Man, this is right around, this is also another poor copy editing. Honky Tonk Man, Wayne Ferris will no longer be shaking hands and kissing babies in a vote conducted by the UWF. More than 75% of the respondents voted against the Honky Tonk Man. Could be that the UWF fans are getting tired of his gimmicks.
No, this is WWF.
I would like if the UWF just voted. We're just like, fuck him. It's like, what about us? The WWF fans? Ah, fuck it. We'll let this dude down and we'll let Bill Watts vote. There's also something in here. Maybe, where is it? Maybe I was looking at a different magazine. But yeah, we got a nice picture here of Nancy Benoit.
Yeah, as the Fallen Angel.
Fallen Angel. She was very beautiful back in the day.
She was in the 80s. Yeah, she was really hot.
She was still good looking in the mid 90s too. She still looked great. I think she looked awesome when she was managing Flair.
Yeah, she was pretty good looking.
She was pretty good looking. You know, Benoit.
But like in the 80s, yeah, she was really, really, really something.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one thing that I like. So Bobby Heenan has designs on dethroning Hulk Hogan in 1987 that talks about the Heenan family.
Yeah.
And then they throw this shade out here. This little foreshadowing as if they already kind of know what happens. But they had to put it in here because maybe they didn't know for certain. But they're like, Heenan must have a trick up his sleeve if he agreed to waive the WWF ban on Andre the Giant. Could it be that Heenan may soon add Andre to his stable? Although Andre is loved in the U.S., he has an entirely different persona in Japan. I was not aware of that.
No, he was like a cowardly heel in Japan.
Yeah.
Not like a straight heel, but he was like a cowardly heel. Like, the face would get the one up on him, so he would like run away and leave the ring. And yeah.
I've seen a bunch of matches, it just seems like he's just a big monster. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just there, which obviously he's over for just being that. But
what I find interesting about this is they're talking about Heenan and the Heenan family, but it's a photo of Missy Hyatt.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not paired up correctly.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's got this giant photo of Missy Hyatt flexing her muscles, and they're talking about the Heenan family.
Yeah. But also they basically put out here, a confrontation between Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant would make an interesting matchup. How about that for our main event at WrestleMania 3?
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? And then we've got a picture here of El Perez.
Yeah.
So
kind of looks like Mark Marrow.
He does, actually.
Yeah.
El Perez getting some setting the female farts.
Yeah.
Flutter.
R.I.P. El Perez.
Wait.
Because you know we just jinxed him.
No. Poor El Perez. You could use these. This is a good photo here.
Yeah.
Of young Sting. I like when Sting has his face paint that doesn't really know what to do with it.
Yeah. So
it's not really like fleshed out. But there's a picture of him and
Rick Steiner.
You got your full color photo of
Brad Armstrong.
Got yourself a Percy Pringle, spelled wrong. Brian Adias. That's a guy who, like another guy you always heard about back in the day. I didn't really know what his deal was, but if you read any PWI, that's all I ever talked about was him in Texas. So
yeah,
yeah. So what else?
Sunshine joining the Freebirds.
I'm confused with her because she was always a valet for Jimmy Garvin until Precious came along. And then they just, like, would have her show up here and there. And then it's like UWF, so it's like they just brought her in. Yeah, and this is like when the Freebirds was like, it was Terry, Buddy, Michael Hayes, and Angel of Death, R.I.P. Yeah, that's a crew. I don't know. What did you want to say about this?
That's about it. Angel of Death. Angel of Death.
Angel of Death was, he was considered, he was always this guy that, like, if you read, like, old observers and stuff, like, in the late 90s or late 80s, he was always considered for, like, these different, like, random spots to, like, bring him in to be, like, a nemesis for Sting or, like, just, like, they're going to put him in, like, a, they're going to put him in some sort of position, and then he always either got hurt or he flaked out. He was actually one of the masked Russian assassins.
I kind
of
want to go on WWE 2K17, create him, and have him feud with Cena, and then just disappear.
That's the beauty of that. You just make him put those guys in there, have them do a feud. You have to make it. Yeah, that's the thing that sucks about 2K17 is you have to like actively make those things happen.
Yeah,
like you can't just let the game decide it for you, because it'll just put like, you know, put like tag team partners against each other all the time, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, got an idea brewing in my head.
All right. Well, I think that's it for wrestling scene here.
Yeah,
we had some good material here. Wrestling scene from April 1987.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Savannah Jack. I remember just seeing his photo. We didn't talk about him.
Savannah Jack, R.I.P.
Yeah, he was an interesting character.
Well, he was like a jobber that just like won the UWF TV title.
Yeah.
Like randomly.
No, that's about it. This week pretty much covered this magazine from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Or from cover to cover, I guess.
I'll have to say, the wrestling scene, it's a tight magazine.
Yeah.
I think of the Politanos, this is actually one of my favorites.
This one's a very good, this is a very good magazine. I want to go back and watch Hacksaw Jim Duggan feud with Akbar's goons.
Yeah,
because
good stuff.
This magazine just sold me on it. It really did. So yeah, that's really what I got out of this. This and the Colonel DeBeers Scott Hall ladder match, I really want to see.
Yeah, and for you listeners, check out Silo Sam.
Silo Sam.
Yeah, you got to look up Silo Sam. It's our lock of the week. It's our super duper Mario lock of the week.
Because
you don't see him wrestle, though. He does wrestle, but he only wrestle. You only see him doing like the headlocks and stuff. Like, he's not doing anything like meaningful.
Yeah,
it's a treat.
Silo Sam. And with that, since you're on YouTube, check me out on YouTube, Sweatpants Joe, on Instagram and Twitter as well. Sean is at Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and Instagram. You can check him out. Check out the podcast, The Worst Collection Ever, for the one that you heard the advertisement for during our break. And anything else you want to add?
We mentioned Worst Collection Ever, I believe. And yeah, that's really about it. Instagram and Twitter, Angry Hero Sean. Check me out. And please go on iTunes, rate, subscribe, tell a friend about this show. Spread the links. Go on our Facebook page and icantalkkayfabe.com. Check out all of our touch points and tell people about the show. If you found the show, wherever you found it, tell a friend about it. Tell them that you dig it. You know, we would really appreciate that.
Thanks for listening. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes as well.
If you think we deserve it, which I think we do.
Even if we don't deserve it, rate us anyway.
That's right. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you soon.